crossfade. The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording. With Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
The Daily Talk Show, episode 258.
International guest. Well, an Aussie who's overseas.
It's Trev.
Trevor Long.
At CES, what's going on?
I just happen to be overseas. It's where my kids, my wife likes me most, I think. My kids prefer me home, but I don't think my wife gives a rat's.
I feel like every time we're speaking to you, you're abroad doing exciting shit.
I feel like you're using me.
Look, you do. You are peak interest point when you are in Vegas. Let's be honest.
You came to Sydney, rushed me. Go to Vegas, you call me. Whatever,
mate.
Hey, interesting fact. You guys have never met. I've never met Trev.
That's very true. Tommy and I were talking about before. I was like, Trevor and I are the ultimate internet friends.
Yeah,
this is.
But then again, I'll be honest. I don't meet most people. I'm not a people person. I really aren't. I'm not. I had to go to dinner tonight. It's all these people. There's five of us here, and there's probably 15 people at dinner. And I say, boys, we're up this end. We're sitting here because I need to have our conversation. I can't be involved in that.
Well, where you are is probably where the technology is that is extending the gap between ever legitimately meeting a human being.
I'm on board. What's been the top? So CES can probably reset because a lot of people won't know what CES is.
Because he'll air check us later.
Yeah, exactly. Tell it, what is CES?
Yeah, my name's Trevor Long. I'm a technology commentator. CES is it used to be called the Consumer Electronics Show. It's not written anywhere anymore. They just, for some stupid reason, they're like, wait, no, this is CES. It's not the Consumer Electronics Show. It's CES. They think, because it's been going 50 years, that it's that big, they don't need to explain what CES stands for anymore. Good on them, but I still say it everywhere. Consumer Electronics Show. So, you know, I got a lot of shows every year, but this is the biggest. I say it's 9 MCGs worth of exhibition space because it's the entire Las Vegas Convention Center plus
minus
two
meat
of the
pies.
Casinos.
Huh? Minus the meat pies.
No meat pies at the convention center.
It's outrageous. You know what? There's no meat pies anywhere in the world except Australia.
Well, there is pie face, I believe, in New York. They did. Did they pie face? Were they out of business?
I think they went.
Yeah. So actually talking about the food. I have been.
He loves a good food chat, as you know, Trev.
Well, I've been
food
to
diary.
Exactly. I've been to the convention. I feel like I've been to the National. So you're holding up a Kit Kat.
Jeez, what is that logo? What is that Kit Kat logo?
That's the American Kit Kat logo. Goes all right, let me tell you. The American
Crispy
Kit Kat.
Crispy something, yeah.
But I went to NAB, which I think is in the same big,
same place.
The food there, there's not that many options. There's like pizza. What's the deal?
There's a street eat stall over my one shoulder and there's like a Chinese there. About 3 years ago, I learned the food's rubbish.
Yeah.
And so I started bringing like a mate from school who loves cars and there's cars here, so he writes a bit of stuff. But he basically becomes our mother. He looks after us. So what happens is, again, it's massive and they give me a space here. So I've got this little studio here where I can do all my TV spots from. We got an office downstairs.
Yeah.
And last year, for the first time, we went to Walmart and we bought a fridge. $150 bar fridge, and we just loaded it with, you know, drinks, juice, water, apples, bananas, some chocolate. And this year we bought a slightly bigger fridge, but we also bought a sandwich press. And so Flixie, my mate, went to Whole Foods. If you've ever been to Whole Foods, it's unbelievably good general food. Nice loaf of bread, some ham, some cheese, and we're just having ham and cheese toasties.
Between the Virgin Lounge and this setup, you are literally just eating toasties, aren't you?
I love it.
I reckon that's the best part about the Virgin Lounge is the toasty.
That's all
machine.
I eat there is a toasty and cereal.
I've never had the cereal there.
Also pancakes. They've got that automatic pancake maker at most airport lounges now. And people are scared by it. They don't know what that means. You're just going to push the button, they come out. It's pretty good. But anyway, we digress.
Yeah, no. So the CES, so you being there, your job is different to what other people are there for? Like what are the main categories of the types of people at the event?
Yeah, good point. So 180,000 people come to the show, registered to come to the show. General public not allowed. So if you live next door, you can't come in. You've got to register and pay. You're either an industry attendee. So it means you work somewhere in the tech industry. You might be an analyst or an engineer. You're an exhibitor, so someone that's actually exhibiting. There's media, about 5,000 media. The bulk of them, though, are retailers. So it staggers me when I think about it. But say Harvey Norman, for example, they have, at best as I know, about 20 or 30 people here. There's, and I say a guy, but it could be a man or a lady, I don't know, but there's a guy in charge of audio. It's not a robot. Harvey Norman's way not that advanced. There's someone in charge of Bluetooth audio. There's someone in charge of TV. There's someone in charge of every single small, minute category of basically aisles at Harvey Norman. And their job is to come here and walk around and see stuff that they might want to sell. And then find the person that is in charge, have a meeting with them, talk about, you know, quantities, you know, potential delivery dates, selling prices, do a deal to be exclusive, whatever, and then at some point bring it to Australia. Most of them are just, like, the TV guy's pretty easy job because he's being wooed. Like, they're the ones that are out at night at the clubs getting boozy dinners because they're being wooed. They're trying to do deals with these companies. So, yeah, they're essentially, it's the majority is retail deals being done. So it's make or break for some people. Some people, it's kind of sad. You see someone here with, like, a couple of years ago, there was a bloke with an electronic toothbrush that taught your kids, you know, how to, you know, brush their teeth properly. Listen, mate, just get a digital timer. You put it by the sink and you make them push the two-minute button. Yeah. It's not rocket science.
Or there's Philips and other brands that are doing that shit already.
Yeah.
There's fillings.
There's fillings. You don't need to brush my teeth.
That guy probably didn't sell many because I don't think it got picked up.
Yeah.
And he's probably trying to find his next good product. So there's a lot of people who don't succeed, but, you know, then there's Samsung and LG and Sony who have got booths, as we call them, displays the size of, I don't even know, almost a football field. They're huge.
What price would people be paying? What would some poor bloke who's got it
for the booths?
For a toothbrush booth.
Mate, they wouldn't be here at the convention centre. They'd be over at what we call Eureka Park, which is in one of the casinos. It's the lower floor of the casino conference centre. They basically don't even roll out carpet. It's, you know, booths that are just a wall and no, they're probably paying a couple of $1,000.
Yeah.
And good luck getting someone there. Like, we have five people. I sent one guy over there for today. He probably won't make a bet there. He would have seen 1/10 of it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's literally rolling the dice so hard.
And
we get 1,000 emails a day because you go on a mailing list once you register as media.
Those mailing lists are insane. Like, I just know, even not being in media, going to these, like, events, say NAB is more sort of open to anyone, and you scan your card and before you know it, they're sending you constant emails. I want to know, what's the vibe like when they see that you're Australian? Do they see Australia as a small market for a lot of businesses, or do they see it as an opportunity area? What's the vibe?
They are most normally bitterly disappointed to see me.
Really?
Because so first night, there's a separate event that gets put on called Unveiled. Big room in a big hotel down the strip. And again, someone's paying big bucks. Someone charges them like 10 grand to come to this thing, but it's all media. So this is people who want attention. So at that event, everyone wants to see, especially, like, I had a camera crew with me and a TV crew. Like, it was like, oh, the cameras, you know, like, they love it.
Mm.
But then when you're on the conference floor, they're looking for Harvey Norman. You're not looking for a dude from the media. Sure. So you go, g'day, mate. And they're like, oh, okay, so they do get excited that you're Australian because they think he's a global market.
Yeah.
But then you go, I'm from the press. Have you got a press kit? Can I take some photos? And they're like, oh, you want to buy any? Sure. You know, so they're actually disappointed. But I don't get a sense that Australia is the market that everyone wants to break into. But Australia is recognised as an unbelievable early adopter market. Like, we pay good premiums for stuff. So we will adopt the expensive things. We're happy to be early on it, but you do need a Europe or an America to be part of that. It's not going to fly with just Australia.
Yeah. Is there anything that you've seen so far that we are ridiculously behind on?
No, we're not. You know what? We're not behind. We're a touch behind on TVs. But that's just because Samsung made a decision to launch some stuff in America late last year. But no, we're not. And you, Tommy, whinge a lot about Telstra and mobile networks and internet. We are so far ahead in general on mobile that there's a lot of talk about 5G here, for example. Like, our mobile networks are so much faster than America. Technology-wise, in terms of gadgets, we have got most of the good stuff. We don't have a lot of mobile phones. So in America, they are getting the Xiaomi, which is a Chinese company. They make some seriously slick phones. We're not getting those because they're a small market. Like, you might be grey importing them off Kogan, but you're not buying them at a retail store. So we don't get the full range of things, but we've got most of the good stuff. So we're pretty good. There was a time, and Joshua will remember, when Apple would announce something and it'd be like, available tomorrow, and in Australia in 3 months. But now we're available in Australia, UK, US.
We get it first now thanks to the time zone. 100%. It's great.
Time zone, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you order through Telstra, they'll forget your order like me and lose it in the mail.
He's really holding on to
my character. Direct from Apple.
the 5G thing, are there any specific technologies or gadgets that are using this 5G? Like, what is, because I saw somewhere that people, like in America, as you said, they're talking about it, they're getting excited about it. Sounds like the rollout's going to be like pretty small, like it's going to be only in select cities. But what can you actually do with 5G outside of just having a faster phone?
And what is 5G, to be honest?
So 5G is the next version of mobile networks above 4G. It creates a different level of coverage. So in some places, deeper into buildings, in some places, wider coverage. But it's heaps faster. Lower latency, which means, you know, the speed at which you initiate the communication, and much faster speeds. Now, in a retail consumer world, we'll talk about it being super fast and hundreds of megabytes, gigabytes, whatever. Yeah. Your mobile phone, when it finally comes 5G, I guarantee you don't really notice because... Yeah. Like, Netflix isn't buffering today. Like, we're not having massive issues. People like you and I will notice because, like, sometimes you have that moment where you can't get a file from this device to that device and you go, you know what, I'll put it on Dropbox and then I'll get it on the other one. Like, it's just so much easier. So there will be benefits for people like us in rich media in terms of video and things. But the average Joe, no huge change on your mobile phone. At home, though, plenty of people who either don't have NBN, don't want NBN, or just want to use a telco for the speed, we'll get a little 5G box in the corner and that'll be their Wi-Fi network and their internet. If you're renting, perfect, because you just take it with you to your next home and you move and your internet comes with you. There'll be home internet will be the first thing we'll see in the next 6 months, and then later in the year there'll be some phones announced. But really, 5G is for autonomous cars, like connected cows, like stuff that is mind-blowing that we're not even thinking about because of that low latency. The importance of data, like if you're driving in an autonomous car or sitting in an autonomous car and there's another one next to you, those cars will be communicating with each other to let them know that we're thinking about going that way, we're thinking about going that way. And if it's a bit laggy on the network, there's going to be a crash. Yeah. So 5G, low latency, all that stuff will happen at a much more reliable rate. So it's actually in all that space that it's going to make its money.
You're wearing multiple hats, and I guess
he's actually got no hat on.
He's got no hats on, but there's so many hats have fallen off. EFTM is your main thing, where everything sort of stems out from. You got your podcast. Is there anything in the podcast space or stuff that you're actually excited about from a content creator point of view, or is this not the place for this sort of?
Not that kind of show. Like I would actually love to go to IBC, which you've been to last year, and NAB. But I think I'd spend too much money, so it's probably not a good idea for me to go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Roadcaster is the best thing that's happened to podcasting. But again, it's this. So there's a big show in Berlin. Berlin every year called IFA, and it's like a lot of appliances. And then there's Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. It's a lot of, you know, Telstra talking to Qualcomm, and it's not very newsy for me and the mums and dads in the audience. This show, it's all about mums and dads. What's your next TV going to be? What's the next sound system? Is a robot vacuum? Which robot's going to clean your home? What's your companion robot and future of cars? Like it's more real people stuff. And as much as we love our podcasting, real people couldn't give a rat's.
Why the fuck are they talking so much about 8K TVs? Do you think the real consumer is going to notice or see? Like how are the brands communicating 8K to you?
Pissing contest mainly. To be honest, I have spent an extraordinary amount of time looking at 8K because I did go to Korea with Samsung almost specifically to be brainwashed about 8K, but I'm smart enough to know what was, you know, right and what was wrong. In a term that you'll understand, the way a good 8K TV upscales 4K is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And there's this weird thing about the depth that you can see in the picture, you know. There's no like restoration of the lines.
Yeah,
it does look deeper, and you can notice a difference.
Yeah,
but I don't have a great eye. Like I don't have bad eyesight. I just don't really see the difference like massively. So I wouldn't buy an 8K TV today. Mm. I'd be happy with a 4K. But
I'd be happy with a TV, Trev. I've got none. I actually don't own a TV.
You know, Kogan,
disgust me.
What's your view on HDR? It feels like that was a big thing last year. Are they still talking about it? And I actually haven't seen them in real life. What's the deal?
HDR, Dolby Atmos, Dolby Vision, all amazing terms. Yeah. Every time I get demonstrated HDR and Dolby, this and that, they show a scene with clouds in the sky, a bright sun coming through, and then like a lot of shadow and dark. So the concept is that the color and the picture comes through where it's shady, but also in that bright light, you can still see the clouds. It's not all washed out.
Yeah.
Genuinely, it works. I can see a difference. If I'm watching a movie, am I going to notice that my mate doesn't have a HDR TV and I do? No, I'm not. So I'm not rushing out to buy a TV because it's got HDR. The thing that I do like that I've seen here this year is a Hisense, for example, focus on the software. So their interface, when you press the menu button, when you press the home button, what comes up? What does it look like? Mm. Like they've got a good interface, but it's going to be faster this year because they've tweaked it. It's going to have Netflix recommendations built in because I don't want to have to go home, Netflix, Trevor, and then see my last thing. That's four clicks to get to my last thing. So on a Samsung TV for the last couple of years and now on a Hisense in 2019, I press home. There's my last watch program. I just scroll down and click, and I'm watching the show. I don't need to go into Netflix. I'm going straight to the program. So the integration of the things we watch into the software of the TV is phenomenal. And, like, that's the big difference between buying a Kogan.
Yeah.
You've got no drama with Kogan. They make good TVs, but you don't get that integration of Netflix and Stan and Amazon Prime. And if you think 5 years ahead when the numbers of people doing those streaming services will be extraordinary. Like, it's just going to make it so much easier to watch that content. That's what's exciting, and there is some good stuff happening in that space.
I tell you what, a whole bunch of rich people's houses that I've been to in my life, I feel like they've been the casualty of dropping huge coin on systems that have just got outdated really quickly, like the Bang & Olufsen, all that stuff. You see, they're either holding on to them because they spent so much money on them.
Yeah.
Is that gone, those days of dropping huge coin, or it's still there?
2 years ago, LG announced their wallpaper TV. So OLED, best TV you can buy, no question, right? It's beautiful. And they're thin, like the thickness of a mobile phone. But actually, 50% of that is just the glass or the metal holding the screen up. An OLED screen, I've been to LG's factory in Korea. An OLED screen is flexible. It's like a, Rolf Harris wobble board. And so it can actually be curved. And so what they did, they went, we'll take the flexible bit, get rid of the backing, and we'll stick it on the wall, and we'll put the guts of the TV, the HDMI, the TV tuner, into the soundbar. And, mate, you look at this and go, "Fuck, that's amazing. It's 2 millimetres off the wall. It's a TV. It looks so good." This year, so that was 2 years ago, $20,000 to $35,000, and they sold a few. They definitely sold many in Australia.
Who's buying them? So is Harvey Norman putting in an order for that type of thing?
Harvey Norman sold them. LG put displays in their main stores and they sold. I literally don't know. Maybe it's 1,000, maybe it's 100, I don't know. But they sold some this year. So you're the bloke that spent $30,000 or $40,000 3 years ago for this beautiful thing because you've got, let's say you've got a Vista over, I don't know, what's a bay, St Kilda Bay, whatever.
Yeah.
Port Phillip Bay,
Bay.
The ocean. Glass slightly windows. Shit.
See, Melbourne doesn't have as many good options as Sydney.
It's a shit town. But you've got this glass vista and you've stuck a TV on there because it's beautiful. It looks good that way. So this year, we don't know how much money, but trust me, tens of thousands. Forget blocking the view with the TV. You buy a box and let's say it's a 65-inch TV. So it's the width of a 65-inch TV plus a bit. But then it's maybe 25 centimetres tall, 25 centimetres deep, and the width of the TV wide. In that box is a TV rolled up, like a garage door, right? So the OLED screen is rolled up in there. You press the power button, little flap opens, and the TV goes 10 seconds, and there's a TV. So your beautiful vista is blocked when you're watching TV, but when you turn it off, hello, ocean. Oh, it's mind-blowing, phenomenal, going on sale this year. I won't ever meet anyone that owns one. But if they want to give me one, I'll absolutely take it. But
what I mean, how, what's the life on these products? Because I'm guessing that
how long,
like,
until we see them on Nature Strips?
No, I just wonder because, like, going in, that. No, but going into that and going out, rolling in, rolling out, surely there's wear and tear on the pixels or whatever.
Has to be. Yeah. It has to be, but see, LG are the only people. The LG Display, which is a separate business to LG Electronics, just to be clear, it's nerdy. But so they've been making OLED panels, the panel bit, without actually manufacturing a TV out of it, for like 5, 6, 10 years. They've worked it out. So they've been doing this up and down for, you know, years. I don't think they'd bring it to market if they hadn't tested it for, you know, 10,000 roll up and downs.
Yeah.
I mean, you pay $35,000 in 5 years from now under Australian consumer law. Trust me, it should still work.
Yeah, absolutely. The car stuff, you know your cars. You got Bowen there helping you with the car coverage. What is the tech stuff? Like, is there anything that's coming out at CES that we don't already know as consumers?
Most of it's bullshit.
Really?
Not going to lie.
Just vaporware.
I've sat with Bowen. We've talked about it. Like, it's like they come up with ideas just for CES.
Yeah.
Now, we may look back in 10 years and go, "That I remember that at CES in 2018. But, like, Nissan's idea was talking about the metaverse. I don't even know what that is, and I'm a nerd. The metaverse, so you're in an autonomous car and you're either bored or lonely or you just want to have a chat. You're wearing a virtual reality headset and you press a button, and like Mark Zuckerberg's plan of having these kind of weird Second Life meeting rooms, you just, Josh can be in the car with something, so we can be driving. We've never met in real life, but Josh and I can be driving down the freeway.
This is perfect.
Having a chat, because he's sitting at home like Al Bundy with his hands down his pants with his, you know, virtual reality headset on. I'm sitting next to him in a car and we're having a chat. Now, I said to the boys tonight, I said, wouldn't it just be easier not to go from a place A to place B and sit at home and have that virtual conversation? So I don't know why that's a car thing.
Yeah.
Mercedes-Benz did announce something tonight with Garmin, so that your Garmin Vivo Fit smartwatch is linked to the car, so it knows either your mood or your health or something, and the seat will, I don't know, give you a massage if you've done a lot of workout today or something. Yes. I mean, these kind of things are fun. That's a real thing, but most of it is pie in the sky. Hyundai have this thing that's like a, looks like a vehicle we'd send to Mars.
Yeah.
So it can, you know, go over rocks and stuff, and it raises up, and the wheels are then on legs, and it can actually walk, so that it can get over terrain. That's, it looks a bit like those Boston Dynamics crazy ass robots. And then they go, but a use of that is like in an earthquake, this thing could drive essentially over rubble and deliver emergency relief to people. And you go, oh, that's a good idea. I mean, that's not bad. I don't think they're going to build it any day soon though. So yeah, cars I think is a bit more of a high thought, future vision, this is what we're thinking, let's just see how it's received kind of stuff.
Is Tesla there?
No. Tesla, Apple, Microsoft, never here.
Is Tesla, does Tesla get more hype than they deserve, do you think, Trev?
100%. No. Up until now, they've deserved everything they've got because they've absolutely led the way in electric cars. And there's probably 15 Teslas in CES on display because everyone wants to be kind of affiliated. They've got one, they've done something to it or whatever. Panasonic had one a couple of years ago because I think they helped with the infotainment. I don't know what. But the thing is now, horses bolted. I drove a Jaguar I-Pace in like the 4 days before I came here. I've never driven anything like it. It was the most spectacular car. And I've got my money down for a Tesla Model 3. So I'm in the queue.
Yeah.
But this thing made me go, far out, Jaguar make a better car than Tesla. So,
and what, like, is, I the actually
want a really good car.
I just want
a thing that goes 0 to 100 in a bazillionth of a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All electric cars go fast. It's the Scalextric effect. So I think their time is coming to an end.
Really? So the big screen, you know, like when I think of Tesla, I think of sort of the entertainment system as well, just that big screen. The issue that I have with all of this stuff is everything seems to be across all these companies. It's proprietary. It's walled garden. It's like select an ecosystem. Mm. With specifically what I'm thinking about is the smart speakers, the Amazon Echo, the Google Home. Yeah, like
Samsung Bixby, Microsoft Cortana. Don't forget the big two.
Fuck,
that no one's heard of.
Well, but how? Like, yeah, how do we decipher all of this? What do we – like I'm moving into a place soon and like I want to have a couple
How's Lynn going to be about that?
Yeah, I know. She's going to be very disappointed.
What Josh is asking is how can he have a dinner party with no one that he that actually is there but it's in a virtual world?
No, what I want to know is if I should I get a fucking Amazon Echo or should I get the Google Home or could you
– Google Home every day of the week.
Really?
In Australia.
I've got Amazon Prime. Does that change things or no? I guess probably not.
I mean, how much are you using Amazon Prime right now? Maybe in 4 years, 5 years.
Tommy's looking at me like he bought a lot of fucking books. Yeah, but go on. I want to understand this.
I can't write fucking books. The thing is Google has a stranglehold in Australia because they've just sold so many bloody devices because they hit the right time, the right place.
They were Amazon, giving them away from fucking like you did anything with
strategy,
Telstra.
Go to Woolies, buy some shopping, get a Google Home, right? Yeah. The strategy's working.
Yeah.
The thing is I think Google has the best tentacles in every place. So you can buy so many products now that are Google Home integrated. Look, that said, it's not a huge leap ahead in terms of the number of products. But you do need to choose an ecosystem today.
Yeah.
So maybe thinking about your situation, you do know the Amazon ecosystem, you do use it. Maybe there's more benefit in you, but I would have thought you're also a bit of a Google user.
I've got all the Google accounts. The issue is I've got about 40 Google accounts. I've sort of committed to one.
Where's your daily calendar?
My calendar is with Big Media Company, which is like through the business
Google
account.
Suite?
Don't
buy Google Home.
Yeah.
Don't buy Google Home. I can't use it at home. My EFTM/Trevor Long account is a Google Suite, G Suite. I pay fucking money for it every month.
It's not connected.
I turn on a Google Home. I set up my account. It says, your email address is not valid. You can't tell me. I can't say, hey, Google, what's on my diary tomorrow? She goes, I can't read your calendar. And I'm paying them money and I can't enable that feature. So stupid.
It's a Google product.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
In the pipeline, do you know, are they going to introduce that?
They say, like, they can't even give me answers. But the thing is, see, most G Suite accounts are not like you and me, a couple of small business people, right? They're a big corporation with 500 employees and they can't just tick a box because it might ruin everything on their corporate network, right?
Yeah.
That's why it's like that in their defense. But it's a huge slice of market, I would have thought. So basically, unless you've got gmail.com account, Google Home is a pain in the ass. So enjoy Alexa, buddy.
Yeah. Do you have with your you're running Android?
I'll send you one. I've got an Echo Dot. I'll send it to you. I have no use for it.
Perfect. I appreciate it. This whole podcast was
so you get free stuff from me.
Exactly. This is perfect.
Tommy's like, what am I getting?
I know. Exactly.
I'll send you a battery for your phone.
Tommy thinks we're basically married, so he's like, 50%. I've got 50% of a Dot. You couldn't do FaceTime. You're not doing iMessage. You're using Android at the moment?
Yeah, I've been using. So my son goes into high school next year. Mm. Weird answer to a question about a mobile phone, but no, see,
I think I know.
So he's had a mobile device at his disposal. He didn't realize it was his number, and I'm paying for it, and it's a phone he can use every day.
Yeah.
He just didn't use it every day. So I get the question, what phone should I give my kids? And I tell them the cheapest one. And then my son could literally have any phone because I've got them all. They're just sitting in my office. And I said to my wife, we probably can't give him a $2,000, you know, Huawei Mate 20 because he'll probably break it and then he'll just expect another one. So I used, for 3 weeks before Christmas, I used the $440 Huawei Nova 3i. And you know what? It was fucking great.
Yeah.
Good phone, had no dramas. It was great. And then I went, the fuck am I? I've got the best Huawei phone on the planet right here. I'm going to use it. So I then upgraded myself to the Huawei Mate 20. My view, best phone on the market today, triple lens camera, 3x zoom, single time zoom, wide angle, really fast, great phone. I'm loving it. And so in the end, I gave my son a $220 Huawei phone and he's a happy boy. So yeah, I've actually escaped the Apple ecosystem. I'll switch back to an Apple iPhone at some point when Apple take me on a trip because Jesus Christ, the death stares they give you when you don't have an Apple phone is just phenomenal.
Oh, that's last time we spoke to you. You were at the Apple HQ in San Francisco.
Getting upset at strawberry water, I believe.
Yeah, jeez.
Used water.
Strawberry water, lime water, cucumber water. Just give me water.
So the Android, so you think you'll stick with
it? So I live and breathe WhatsApp now.
Yeah.
So There's still a couple of people who've got my like a really, really old iCloud account in their contacts. And so they, I still got a Mac, it's still got iMessage. So every few hours I see the messages.
Yeah.
But man, WhatsApp is so good.
Have they got a desktop app?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know they had a desktop app. Oh, that's great.
And WhatsApp. I just have WhatsApp open in a browser all the time. Like right now, they're just coming up on my screen.
I think last time you told me that as well. I've got to get that. That's
thanks for taking the advice.
Being across the computer and the phone, I think will make a difference. On the sound thing, do you think Sonos is in trouble, or do you think that they just produce a superior product in regards to sound?
I would have said a year ago they were in trouble, but they look like they've taken a smart approach by integrating. So they've incorporated Apple AirPlay. I think they'll have Google Home and Alexa built in, so you can still be this snobby premium Sonos owner and have the Google and the Alexa stuff. But in the end, their market share can't be as good as it ever was because there's so many other options out there. They're just like, I wouldn't buy a Sonos right now because I'm smart enough to be able to just use a Bluetooth speaker in every room kind of thing. And I don't think most people want multi-room audio.
I've got the old Sonos, like the original Play 5s or whatever.
Yeah, so have I.
Is that like, because what I was thinking of doing was selling them?
I think we both got them at the same time and have kept them for the same reason.
I actually think that might be right. Lucky Niv was, he was leaving, so he didn't care that much. But
just Trev, if I've ever heard an inside bloody conversation, I'm confused and I'm a part of the show.
He said it several times on the show. He said several times on the show that back in the Melbourne Geek days, he was sent a Sonos system and has never gone back.
Exactly.
Yeah, thanks for resetting, mate. Appreciate that.
Not only that, but I did some stuff that they're actually called Playback was what Sonos was the distributor. And they got me to do a video for them and it was a contra deal. So I got two Play 5s and then I think two of the Play 3s might be the ones that were given to me on loan.
Well, but I'm that much out of the Sonos ecosystem. I don't think I've turned mine on in a while. And I was given one as a contra for running some ads on the podcast, some Sonos ads a few months ago. And I gave it away on a competition because people love Sonos. It's a good speaker. Why not? But yeah, I think speakers is a cool thing. Like there's so many of them around that it's very hard to go wrong with speakers. You know, like I don't think if you have a price point, there's always a good speaker. You know, you get a JBL, you get a Sony. Very hard to convince someone to buy something that's worth so much money. We've got a Bose thing in the office at the moment and it's got a screen on it. Mm. It does Alexa. You know, it's great. But it's probably a lot of money just to have a reasonable quality sound. That said, I'd happily recommend for $499 an Apple HomePod, best quality sound you'll hear in such a small device. So
Siri is super just competitive fucked. Market. I just find Siri, like I saw someone doing an example of they were using Siri to get the lights to turn on, and just seeing the process of Siri filling the screen on the phone and then it seems like it's a delayed response.
Siri is Apple's biggest problem.
Yeah.
Siri was born years before Google Assistant and Amazon Alexa, but she's dumb compared to them.
Mate, watch your mouth. Yeah. we're good together.
Sure, she can tell you the time and what the weather's going to be, but she can't really tell you much more. Like she struggles to really be as good as the Google Assistant stuff. So the Apple HomePod, if you love music and you have Apple Music subscription, is outstanding.
Yeah.
But Apple HomePod doesn't know the difference between me and my wife. Yeah. So I can't add things to my calendar and all that. Like that's not like it should be smart enough.
Yeah.
Should be smart enough. Like I link my iTunes account to Apple HomePod. My kids are like, hey, play Shotgun by George Ezra. Hey, play this. And all that shit goes into my favorites because they play them so much that it becomes Apple thinks I like that music.
Yeah, that's the excuse. Taylor Swift as that's a recommendation. The excuse he's using for his YouTube recently viewed.
Yeah, well, Tommy seems to love the Wiggles based on his, mate, his viewing.
I'm a big fan.
But the so if someone had to pick, if you were to get a smart device in general, whether it be the lights, like the Philips Hue or the Lifex or Lifex, however you say it. Like, what do you think is the best first device into the whole smart home thing that you aren't going to have to replace in a year's time because it's going to be made redundant by something else?
I'd buy the Google Home Mini or the Amazon Echo Dot, both super cheap, you know, 70, 50 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd buy two things. I'd buy a Philips Hue light bulb.
Yeah.
And I would buy a like an Arlec or a TP-Link or D-Link switch. So they look like an old school double adapter. Yeah. They plug into a PowerPoint and they've got another PowerPoint on the other side of it. And so you plug the iron in or you plug a lamp in, like your bedside lamp. Most people have a bedside lamp of some sort. Plug that in there and you program it. You call it in the bedroom. You call it the lamp. And then from then on, you can say, hey, Google, turn the bedroom lamp on. Hey, Google, turn all the lights off. And you need to grow that familiarity with talking to your home.
Yeah.
Like that's the problem most people have is I don't want to talk to a thing. Siri has that problem.
Yeah.
So you need to grow that familiarity with the desire to talk to a thing, an inanimate object.
Yeah.
So do something like that that makes you go, and it's also something you'll show your mates when they come around. Hey, Google, turn the lounge room light blue. And, you know, it does. And they go, oh, turn it green and, you know, have some fun with it. And you've got to buy a light bulb or a switch that allows you to do the lamp. Or if your wife keeps leaving the iron on or you do, buy it for the iron. And then just when you're driving to work, just check that it's off. You know, stuff like that is fun.
Yeah.
It's not mind-blowing. It's very easy to set up. And then get a really good subscription to, you know, Apple Music or Spotify or whatever it is so that you can play music and really start to enjoy music again. Mm. I think most people still don't appreciate how good Spotify is for learning and discovering music. I don't, mate, I haven't listened to a new song myself for decades. I'm still listening to Farnham and stuff.
Well, old music's never getting new, Trev, so.
This is the thing, right? But Spotify will throw up something that's, you know, John Denver, and I'm like, I would never have typed that in.
Yeah.
Good song.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just it learns.
They give you the Johnny Rockets milkshake and you're happy. They know exactly what your tastes are.
Hey, listen, on Sunday night we were at a big event, that one, the media event, and I had a current affair there, and they always need, on a current affair, because they never put your name on the screen, they always need what they call an intro shot. So it's a shot of you not talking, just doing something, so they can say, and tech expert Trevor Long said, and so they go, there was a pinball machine. They said, just play the pinball machine. I went, beautiful, play that. So I'm playing, it's a Beatles pinball machine. I'm playing it away. And I'm that into music like that. I can't not sing along. I fucking sang for a second. Do you know what they used on the television?
Mate, I saw it.
A bit of me singing.
I'm at Lynn and Richards at the moment, and they've obviously got ACA on religiously. And, there you pop up. And
shit, man, you missed me. I was on 25 minutes ago.
The thing is, mate, this is the only way I stay cool and relevant with my parents is you being on ACA. Because like, oh, there's Trev. Trev's on.
Can you do an ACA headline about Trev over at CES?
Josh, do... okay, so what you're the host, but you're also got to write your own scripts.
Yeah.
So the brief is, off the back of the dodgy builder, we're going to cross to Las Vegas to the biggest consumer tech show in the world. Give us
okay,
a intro.
Okay, here we go. All right.
Come on. No pressure.
Okay, here we go. the pressure is huge, Trev. From dodgy builders to dodgy singers, Trevor Long in Las Vegas. There we go. I've actually been consuming all of
ACA.
No, all the content on. I'm not on any fucking social network, but I do log into the Daily Talk Show Twitter. Mm. They do a great job.
Just FYI, can we just stop for a second?
Yeah.
That is such a fucking cop-out.
Tommy will fucking...
Well, yesterday we had a blow-up on the show saying that when Josh left social media, who does the social media? It's all on the other person on the show that has social media. So,
but I have been, Twitter is probably the last, like just having it on the Daily Talk Show. Otherwise, I wouldn't even...
It's the worst of the drugs.
But the thing is, I only have, on the Daily Talk Show, I think you're about the only person that we see that doing content. Like there's nothing else on Twitter.
ABC, always be contenting.
Always be contenting. Yeah, true. Is the...
Twitter is like speed. It like doesn't do a great deal, just keeps you awake.
Speed for smart people.
And probably gets you irritated.
See, there's five of us writing articles, doing shit that it's hard to keep track of. So I said on the way over here, I said, listen, we do have a social media strategy, and that is don't post to Facebook.
Yeah.
I've paid someone to just look at the site for 2 hours every day and just put it all up on Facebook.
Okay.
And they said, what about Twitter? I said, just fucking whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because it's been and it's gone. Like, so just post it. Doesn't matter if I post something and then you do. Doesn't matter. Like, it's just content. You just have to post it. So It's a funny medium, Twitter, and mate, you're addicted to social media still.
Well, is there any way that we can, from a technology point of view, actually spend less time on this stuff? Like there's screen time that's coming out, all these things to try and limit it. Is there any hardware or any devices that's specifically designed to actually switch off? I know it's pretty counterintuitive.
Ones that you, they're ones that you know, screen time. Yeah. Like you need to. What you actually should do.
Well, I've retired from social media.
Parent,
do you know I've retired?
In a family account.
I've completely retired. I'm not on social media anymore. The only thing I've got is...
You just said you're on Twitter.
The Daily Talk. I know. It's sort of like retired, but I go in one day a week just to help with the books. You know? I'm the retired accountant just being like, look, I'm happy to do the reconciling for you. It's very low. So I'm actually very good. It's like I've cut off. But I'm wondering what the next level is.
You'll be back Tommy will get the shit sooner or later with how much he's having to do. And you're going to have to lift your gun.
But it's already happened. And so, but there's nothing, there's no tech out there that could help specifically. No,
I respect what you've done, but I think it's crazy because in this world, as a businessman and a content creator, it's fucking stupid because it's essentially it's your output and you need to know what's going on. So I think it's all about limits. Yeah. And you knew that we had a problem. You needed to implement limits. Yeah. If you'd have come to me beforehand, we would have sat down. I said, Tommy's your dad.
Yeah.
Create a family sharing account on iTunes and make him your dad.
Yeah.
And then what Tommy could have done was set up actual rules that said only 5 minutes a day on this and that. And, mate, the apps just closed down. They're still there. You get to use them, but they closed down.
The power.
Self-imposed limits don't work.
The power, mate, I would have taken.
Tommy's gone fucking crazy because I installed 2 Nest cams in the office and he thinks it's an opportunity to use the two-way function. Every single time I come in, he gets a push notification. He feels like he needs to say, oh, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But
they're the best, right? Yeah. They're great.
I mean, what's the limit? I feel like there's going to be an interesting time where all of this smart stuff, all the security cameras, all the smart doorbell. Have you created any limits for your kids to say, now it's not appropriate to be using the video camera to listen to the conversations mum and dad are having? Like,
they're not at that point yet, thankfully. Sure. Jesus, I hadn't even thought about it, to be honest. Look, we only have 1 camera inside the house.
Yeah.
We've got 2, 1 upstairs, 1 downstairs. They're in non, private areas. The ones in the hallway downstairs.
No sex rooms.
Upstairs.
Yeah, I get it. That's good. No shitting. No, right? Absolutely.
They're the ones I forget to charge most of the time and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think maybe the kids will get access to the cameras at some point, but nah, mate, you got to have that. That would be a very simple, hard and fast rule. Like there'd be no excuses on that.
Yeah.
But mate, it's fun. Well, like, when you first get them, it's fun. Or when we put our Nest camera downstairs in the office, when we first moved in, John Boy, who's new and doesn't really have all this stuff, like he's never had a Nest camera or anything before, he's like Tommy.
Yeah.
He's just like, oi. Jesus Christ, what are you doing? Mate, it'll wear off. Yeah. It's okay.
So you don't think that it's going to get to it? Like, have you had to create limits for your kids? What are the technologies?
So our kids have technology limits.
Yeah.
They have screen time. If they want it daily, they get it daily. But some days we just do too much and you don't get it. But essentially they get an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the limit. And you count it down for them. I have imposed partial screen time limits on their devices, but there's a risk to that because then during school holidays, the time limits are different. It's very, very weird. But essentially, my kids are pretty good. My kids get way less screen time than their mates, and they hate it. But stiff shit. I look at kids who are on the screens all the time playing Xbox and stuff. And there's kids in my son's year who are on Instagram. I follow them all.
Yeah.
And I look at the shit that they post and I go, what is this rubbish? And what are you doing this at 11 o'clock at night for?
Do you ever tell them off in the comments? Instagram. Have you ever
trolled them?
Have you ever trolled them in the
trolling
comments?
Trolling Trev's actual username.
I think that might be, grounds for some form of police issue.
Are you having second thoughts, Josh, based on Trevor's great pushback?
The thing is, I still get to connect with Trev. I've got WhatsApp. The thing is that I can then still reach out. It's making me have to be more thoughtful on things because the funny thing is, I was thinking about it because, say, for instance, with Sydney, the reason we didn't contact you in Sydney was because I saw on the Daily Talk Show Instagram, I'm like, you getting ready and spending time with the family. I'm like, the last thing fucking Trev needs in December. And so I made the call based on social media. If
you're
I
a fucking idiot. Because I've got three kids. I'll escape them anytime.
Yeah, based exactly. on that, that yeah. was help.
Tommy was like, mate, I've got all week. no, but so I find that it's good for, like, so CES, I'll have to, like, say if it was a thing where it's like, we want to make sure that we have fucking Trev on when CES is on, or like, I'll have to make, I won't remember that shit off by heart. I would actually, I'm going to have to start putting things in calendars. To remember things, remember when your birthday is.
I just don't see it lasting. Well, I just don't know how it lasts.
How do you keep in contact?
I think
with
that's because
kids?
I've listened. Yeah. I've listened intently, and I've thought, I know yeah. I could spend less time. I know I could.
Yeah, yeah.
But how do I delete Facebook? I've got to run an EFTM Facebook page. Yeah. You know, we have lots of people that connect to us there. Yeah. Sure, Twitter and Instagram aren't that big, but there's still people looking, yeah. and I feel like I'd be letting them down. So. No, I can't do it, and maybe you've got this weird, holier than thou, buddy. I'm reading books and bullshit going on. I don't have time to write a book by hand. You and Bree need to get married. You need to have kids. You need to get
call
some responsibility.
Call him old fashioned. Trevor, the thing I appreciate with Trevor, he still drinks fat Coke. You don't even drink. You're full fat Coke. I respect that.
Full fat.
I don't.
Right on.
Like, because Coke Zero, I feel like...
Tastes like shit.
Do you think? I think it tastes the fucking same, no?
No, mate. We were at a dinner tonight, and see, the problem with Vegas is there's a Pepsi and Coke war big time in the US, much yeah. more than in Australia. Mm. So some places are just Pepsi joints. Oh, no. Some places are just Coke joints, but they don't tell you.
Yeah.
You say, can I have a Coke, please? Yeah, sure. They bring you a Pepsi. Yeah. Sat down. I said, this girl from an appliance retailer magazine, I ordered a Coke. I said, this will be a Pepsi. Just watch. Yeah. And I went, fucking Pepsi. I can tell that shit a mile away. I can tell a diet, a zero. I can do a lineup any day.
Well, they're mate, doing like, all the way. They have the machines where you can get about 40 different flavors.
Well, they have
the
corn syrup.
Machines.
They've got corn syrup in the Coke over there in the machines.
Yeah, there is that shit. But the flavors, what would, like, if you do your custom flavor.
We were at the Bellagio buffet the other night, and I just got a Coke. But one of the
at a buffet, you just got a Coke.
Hey,
at a buffet, you just got a Coke.
Yeah,
or you got food. You got food too.
You got some food.
I did as a drink. Okay, yeah. Okay. John got a clear creaming soda.
Yeah.
Well, what's that? Yeah. Someone else got I think it was creaming soda.
It's
with
cancer,
grape.
I reckon. So that's probably what that is.
Really dark clear. And purple. It was weird. Yeah. Like the flavors, because you said it's one machine, one nozzle. And it just, whatever you want comes out.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Mm. How do you keep in touch with your kids while you're away? Have you got rituals?
So this is an interesting one about the iPhone thing, because my kids have all got iPads or iPods.
Yeah.
And so we FaceTime. They don't message me much. I'd prefer if they just text me all the time. Yeah. It'd be so cute and cool. But they actually just FaceTime now and then. But what happens is I would just FaceTime my wife. And here's what happens. My wife sees it's me on the phone. Then she goes, puts it down. Answers it, and I'm looking at the ceiling, and then she goes, kids! And so now, WhatsApp. Not just WhatsApp video. It's as good as FaceTime.
Yeah.
And my wife, for example, earlier, she was bagging me about something I did on a current affair or something, and I said, listen, I'm at dinner, go away. And then she said, now's a good time to call. Has your dinner finished? So she's just saying, listen, the kids, it's in between, you know, dinner and bedtime. Don't call at bedtime because that'll just rile them up. So yeah, just FaceTime.
Did you say I'm dealing with the Pepsi situation here? I've got Pepsi trauma. Trying to work out.
Exactly. I can't deal with this shit right now. But it was like 10 minutes before I had to go on TV. But I know they don't want to talk for too long. Yeah. They just want to tell me what they did in their day. They want to tell me what they're doing tomorrow. They want to tell me they've been good to their mum, even though they haven't been. Yeah. And yeah, just a nice little. As long as we get some form of video contact. I mean, this is the worst week for it because it is pretty much like a 19-hour day for me, but we find some way and it works out. Plus, they watch the vlogs. So we do a vlog every day they watch
the
every day.
Is that every on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on – we don't – the primary place, like the views come on Facebook. Uh-huh. We put on YouTube just as a record, yeah.
Yeah, and
there's shitloads of fun.
Well, I mean, mate, it's nearly 1 a.m. there in Vegas, is it? Getting close?
Look, I wasn't going to refer to that, but now that you mention it.
Do you sleep?
It's early.
Do you sleep or what's the deal?
I'll get 4 or 5 hours, be fine. I've only got just a whole segment for the Today Show to walk around and film all day tomorrow. But
on the segment thing, I was showing Tommy, and I mentioned it actually on the show last week about your last year you had a hip airbag, and I had so much joy when I saw the video of you this year in a vest. And see, we had it going back and forth, playing, stopping, play. Tommy's like, go back, cut two frames. Can you describe?
Do you know the best part about that?
Yeah.
So these blokes from France, wherever they were, they remembered me from last year, so they knew where I was. They came, and I said, bring three chargers for the, you know, it's like a compressed air cylinder. Because they said to me on the Sunday night, they said, it won't fit you. You're too fat. Like, we just don't know when they were big. I said, well, look, let's see what it looks like unzipped. And we'll do it, and then if it doesn't work, we'll put it on you, we'll test it, and then we'll do it for real. So have enough charges. So they come in, and we fit it, and the bloke from France is like it fits you.
It looks
like,
great. Elastic, you look lean as fuck.
Yeah, look great.
It was
not when I turned sideways.
No, I liked it.
Anyway, did you tell him to get fucked?
So, absolutely. So 15 minutes before the segment went to air, because it was live, we had to do a test. I need to know how it works. I need to know what's going to happen. Yeah. And there was four or five other products being brought to me that day, some sunglasses, whatever. And those people were all here waiting. So I'm not gonna beat around the bush. When they're wiring these things, it looks like they're fucking wiring a suicide vest. Yeah, I'm not shitting you. There's wires coming out of it. There's a battery and there's a button.
They're going to blow it's him like up.
A dead man trigger, yeah? So they're wiring it up and they're putting it on and it's, you know, don't press the button now. Wait. So we wire it up and we're doing a test. Okay, everyone, okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, bang! And it's like really loud the first time you hear it.
Yeah.
And four or five of the people had no idea what it was. Oh. Scared the bejesus out of them. Made them all nearly fall over. And then we did the real one on TV and it was it was good stuff. Good content, mate.
Yeah, if the bike crash doesn't kill you, the explosion of the exploding vest will.
It's actually funny you mentioned the sound because Tommy and I gave away a ham in December as sort of a response to Bataki.
I'm across it.
And the sound that the confetti cannon made, we weren't really expecting. We weren't expecting to let it off outside, but it looked like some sort of fucking horrendous Christmas incident. It was a nightmare. And so Rob, who was doing it, was sort of trying to play it all. They were trying to laugh and like play it all down, but it wasn't.
Well, think about all that mess, right?
Yeah.
Well, they have those on at the Today Show. There's two of those sitting like behind the set. You know, uh-huh. It's a set, so there's just bullshit behind. They have two of them sitting there for the cash call every morning. Yeah. So if the cash call gets, I think it's above 10,000. So if it's a 20 or more, they have them. And there's someone standing there ready. Yeah. Right? So they call the answer on the three rings. Boom. And the funny thing is, they pull the thing, someone wins, and they've got like 3 minutes
to clean up. Oh, no.
Someone should do a time lapse. It'd be a great video because they've got to clean the whole studio in 3 minutes before the ad break or whatever comes back. That shit's messy.
You just get a blower?
That's not a bad idea. The robot vacuums, I remember hearing like years ago that they were just a bit of a joke. Have they gotten good and can they tell that there's fucking dog shit and not smear it all over the carpet?
So yes and partially. So they're very good now. The one that we use is called EcoVax. It's got like on top of it's got a LIDAR, which is the stuff used in autonomous cars to see.
I think they're like a LIDAR. It can tell you if you're lying or not.
LIDAR.
As well.
LIDAR. And so it maps your home. It drives around first time and just maps your home accurately. It's beautiful. And then you draw lines where you do and don't want it to go. It knows where it's carpet and hard floors. It can mop and everything, right? It's very good. That will smear dog shit everywhere if it's there. Like there's just no avoiding it. It'll run into cables and get stuck. So 3 months ago they announced it, but it hasn't been released yet, that one that would have artificial intelligence. Now, I hate that word because it's just such a buzzword, but the idea is it's got a camera and it can detect things like kids' toys and avoid them and stuff. So, yeah, that's coming. It's coming that there's something there and it's not normally there. So essentially it knows what the place looks like in its cleanest state and it knows what's there now and it will avoid those things. Because Bowen uses the robot vacuum we had because our house is a fucking mess. Yeah. I mean, it's three kids. It's impossible.
And so how does it get into corners? How does it get to a corner? Is it it's circle, right?
So it's a circle and then there's the like brushes that are about, I don't know, 6-7 centimetres big. And the centre of them is right on the outside and so they flick around. Yeah. So it goes close to the corner and the brush flicks it out.
Mate, I need one of these.
But what's the difference between, say, a cheap one and sort of the pricier primo one?
A cheap one doesn't know where it is in the house.
Okay.
It probably doesn't have a lot of suction.
It's a bit dumb.
It'll just have a basic, you know, amount of suction.
Yeah.
Whereas an expensive one, amazing actual vacuum, and it can be controlled via an app. It can be linked to Google Home, knows where it is in their house, and those kind of things. You've got to spend $1,000 plus to get a good one that will actually clean, and you've got to run them every day for them to be effective. Mm-hmm. They've got to run every day while you're at work. So when you come home, floors are quite clean. But still, every couple of weeks, you've got to get out, do a proper mop, a proper vacuum, and, you know, really
clean your joint. How often do you mop? Jesus Christ.
I haven't. We've got hard floors throughout the house, and we've got three kids. I'm mopping daily.
It's good to know. That's the name of the episode.
Mopping daily. We actually had an incident. We were house sitting, and we're looking after a puppy, and the puppy pissed, and Bree cleaned up the puppy piss with a mop, and then put the mop in like this laundry area that also had wood, and left it there. And the dog had just done a shit, so she went and cleaned that up. Anyway, left the mop there for a few days, and the whole fucking wood floor went black. It like turns it a different color. Completely ruined it. Anyway,
yeah. No, so what we're asking, because you know how to mop, how do you fix that?
What would you do?
Get a new mop head.
Get a new mop head. Trev, mate, thanks so much. How long are you in Vegas till?
It's on Tuesday now. We don't leave till Sunday.
Okay.
So show doesn't close till Friday, and we'll have a couple of a wind down day, and then we'll drive back to LA and fly home on Sunday night.
Quick question, what's the weather like in Vegas? This is winter over there, right?
It's winter, so you can see in the mountains there's some snow. It's chilly. There was a bit of rain earlier, but it's like I'm walking around with a suit jacket on with no dramas. Yeah. But late at night, like now, I should have a bigger jacket on when I go outside, but it's not that bad.
Mm. And
Americans overhype weather. They wear fucking big scarves and big coats. It's like, chill out, people. It's not that bad.
If you had to get one product from CES that they said you could take, but it was under $500, what would be I know, you can't get the fucking TV. What's under $500 that you today you could take away? You would
not even under five. I was gonna say I'll just keep these hard drives Samsung gave me to use, but they're over $500. I got nothing.
What's that hard drive? That looks sick.
Oh, these are sick. You got to get them. These are the Samsung X5 SSDs. These ones are, I think, a terabyte. They're like $1,200.
Yeah, I think they're like, not too.
Linked to a MacBook.
Yeah, super fast
hard drive speeds. Just run. We do all our video editings. Yeah, so it's the new. It's
the new version of the Samsung.
Five times faster than that in data transfer.
They're doing well at EFTM.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell you what,
It's a daily talk show.
We don't muck around here, okay? wait till you see our office, mate. It's better than yours.
Are you doing podcasts while you're away, or is that just off the cards with?
Did one tonight. We did one today. So what we do here is we do them as a. I don't know if this will work. I'll turn it around for you. So this is where we are. We have all these iPhones.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of iPhones. Oh,
amazing.
And lights. And I use a program called Switcher.
Yeah.
So on the iPad, you have an iPad and you link the iPhones via Wi-Fi, and they're the camera's remote. And so you can switch between cameras like a remote director. So we did a Facebook Live. But at the same time recorded onto the Rodecaster. So that's available now as a podcast, but it's also a video, you know, multi-camera switched video on Facebook.
Are you a tech guy?
I mean, it's...
Are you a tech guy? You are?
Don't judge my audio, though. The audio, we haven't quite worked out because the Rodecaster... Anyway, there's a lot of issues there.
A lot of moving parts.
A bit hot.
Mate, Trev, thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
And next time, we'll actually make it an Australian podcast where you're actually in the country.
That'd be nice.
Awesome. God, I thought he was taking the next step to say we could meet.
Yeah, no, we are. I think we're getting closer.
Come to Barcelona in February. It'll be great.
Yeah, but what's in Barcelona in Feb?
Mobile World Congress. There's a lot of trips to make. This is the worst time of year to be married to me. My wife's very unhappy. And
or the best, depending on how you look at life. Awesome, Trev.
No, I just saw a message. Pissed.
that's nice. EFTM is your website, and you're on social media and stuff. And the main one, were you doing, what's the main gig? Like, what's the... Like, is it the ACA stuff, Today Show? What's taking the most time?
ACA, probably 50-50 ACA and Today Show. We did three current affairs stories, two Today Show live crosses, and tomorrow Rob, my camera guy, and I, on just a Sony Alpha 9, whatever he's got, are going to shoot a Today Show tape story, and hopefully with my Rode filmmaker wireless mic, it sounds okay.
Yeah,
it goes to air on Friday morning.
Amazing.
So, yeah, and then I'm doing your money every night in this studio. Yeah. So that's why I'm up late.
Oh, amazing. And we've got a lot of American listeners. Who would you suggest what tech person should Americans be looking at for the type of content that you're doing? Who's the American equivalent?
I think The Verge is probably the only big people doing the amount of content that we do, looking at stuff. But then, you know, I'd still go to Pogue.
Yeah.
I think David Pogue's still the best tech guy in America.
I haven't read his stuff in years.
Remember when he used to do videos, fun videos?
Yeah, is he an independent journo now? Is he?
Nah, well, he's at Yahoo. I don't know what's happening there because they're kind of closing that down. But yeah, he went to Yahoo.
I'm just going
to
wrap this up. Another in conversation right there.
Tommy does it. Tommy's panicking.
David Pogue.
No idea what's going on.
Who the hell is he?
It's a daily talk.
Look it up.
Show, Trev.
Google David Pogue iPhone video. It's very funny.
Yeah, that's old school, mate. Rocking old school. Have a good one, Trev.
See you, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Daily talk. Sorry. Have a good one.